Morning. Right. And now, good evening. So we're going to be looking at this discourse from 1964 on Sedra Lech Lecha. And we are now looking for it in, here we are. Right. So there we have the beginning of this week's Sedra. This week's Sedra is all about Abraham. He hasn't yet had his name changed to Abraham. God said to Abraham, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, God said to Abraham, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. Now, you see, you've got Lech means go, and Lecha means to yourself, for yourself. Me'atzecha, from your land, umimoladetecha, and from your birthplace, umibet avicha, and from the house of your father, ela aretz, to the land, asher areka. Now, the normal translation, as it here, that I will show you, the land which I will show you. Another way of translating this is the land where I will reveal you, right? So another way of understanding those words, which comes up in our discourse, if we get far enough. So the whole question is, what exactly does this Lech Lecha, go for yourself, what does that mean? And so that's what's going to be explored in this discourse by the Rebbe that was said in 1964. And we welcome Rabbi Lu. And it's quite possible that Rabbi Lu was present when this discourse was said. Rabbi Lu, were you there with the Rebbe when he said this discourse? Lech Lecha?
Do you hear me?
Yes.
I'm trying to mute myself generally, but yes, I was, thank God, at that Fabregian. I was at that gathering.
Right.
I lived here for that year, almost, to the following August.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, so let's see if we can find the melody of the discourse, which is tucked away. Oops. Here we have the Mimer melody. You were able to hear that?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, hi, Jeffrey.
Good evening. Thank you, by the way, for the receipt for the calendar.
Okay, great.
Thank you very kindly.
Lovely. Vayomer Hashem el Avram. So God said to Avram, as we just read in the Torah, Lech lecha, go for yourself, me'atzecha, from your land, etc., or mimoladetecha, from your birthplace, Umibet avicha, from your father's house, ele aretz asher areka, to the land which I will show you, is the normal translation. Uperish Rashi, and Rashi comments on this, lech lecha, go for yourself, meaning lahana'atcha, for your benefit, v'tovatcha, and for your good. So that's how Rashi explains what it means, lech lecha, go for yourself, for your benefit. So the Rebbe states, v'yedua hakushya, it's well known, the question, lama hutzrach hakadosh baruch hu, why did the Holy One, blessed be he, why did God have to say, lomala Abraham, to say to Abraham, lech lecha, go for yourself, la'anatcha v'tovatcha, for your benefit, your good? Why did God have to present this sort of practical incentive to Abraham? V'lo haya maspik sheyelech rak biglal, surely it would be enough that he would just go because tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu bilvad. God commanded him to go, and surely that's enough for Abraham. God tells him to go, he's going to go. Why does God have to say to him, go for your benefit? So that's a question on Rashi's interpretation. Ve'ita b'mayma shel ha-tzemach tzedek. Now, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, he said in the discourse that the Tzemach Tzedek is the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. That means living around the year 1850. He said, "Ba'achad habichlich sheyatzu la'achrona me'agalut v'ashivya." In one of the books of manuscripts that recently came out of exile and captivity, because there were many books of Chabad Hasidic teachings, which during the 20th century were gradually being found and brought to New York, and there the Rebbe would organize that the teachings in them would be printed. So there were many such manuscripts. Now the manuscripts, many of them, are in the Lubavitch Library in New York. There's still some manuscripts elsewhere. For example, there's a big library in Manchester called the Brylands Library, which has a very considerable stock of manuscripts of Chabad Hasidic teachings, and just recently they were catalogued by Dr. Sandman, Dr. Yisrael Sandman. He went from London to Manchester and spent quite a while there cataloguing these teachings. So there are Chabad manuscripts in various places. Now, in this discourse, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, states, or quotes, the Al-Sheikh was a famous scholar who lived in Tzfat in the 16th century, Moshe Al-Sheikh, and he wrote a commentary on the Torah. Shahapedush the lech lecha, when it says lech lecha, go for yourself, hu lecha, it means you're going to yourself. You're going to yourself, ula atzmecha ata holech. You're going to your very own self. Hainu, that means sheyagia leshoresh umokor nishmato. Abraham will reach the source and the root of his soul, kamo shehi lemayla, the way the soul is above. So in other words, Abraham, by following this instruction from God to leave his home and go, what in effect was, pardon me, was to go to the land of Israel, by him going to the land of Israel, what's actually going to happen is that he is going to connect with the source of his own soul. Now, the Rebbe is going to explain this. Dehine, for behold, yadua, it is known, shelo kol haneshama, not the whole soul, nimshecha lamata baguf, comes down below into the body. So we have the idea there's the physical body of a person, and then within the physical body, there's a spiritual dimension, the soul. But what it's saying here is that the soul in the physical body is not the entirety of the soul. It's only a kind of a gleam, an illumination coming from the soul. Levad, only that. Nimshecha lamata, which has flowed downwards, as it were. Aval ikar haneshama, but the main aspect of the soul, nishara lamayla, remains above. So this is a very profound teaching. That for each one of us, our soul, the root of our soul, and in many ways, the most significant aspects of our soul, are above. And what is within us is a lower aspect of the soul. And it's true that this lower aspect of the soul is very important in terms of the structure of our lives and our spiritual longings for godliness, which is something that emanates from the soul. And nonetheless, the soul within our body, within our physical body, is not the whole soul. The soul comes from a realm above, and the source of the soul is above. And so therefore, what God was telling Abraham is, I want you to go to the land of Israel. And by doing that, you will connect with the source of your own soul. So it's a way of becoming who you really are. And that's a very, very profound concept. Now comes a kind of an explanation about why this is so. Why does the soul remain above? Why don't we understand it just that the soul comes down and is in the physical body of the person? Why do we have to say that the soul remains above as well? Why is that? Lefi, line 14 on the first page. Lefi shebikdusha, because in the realm of holiness, e'efsha sheyumshech hakol lemata. It's impossible that everything, when you're speaking about a spiritual movement, it's impossible that everything should come down below, v'lo yishaer shum roshem, and there shouldn't remain any effect above. Holiness never, and I'm not translating here, I'm trying to explain it. In fact, let's just read the next line, line 16. Ki chol davar shebikdusha, everything relating to holiness, eino ne'ekar mimekomo legamrei, is never completely dislodged from its place. So if there's something holy somewhere, and it moves on in some way, but the original place always retains some kind of holiness. So holiness always has some kind of place where it began, and even though it moved on from there, that place where it began remains holy. Now, we can understand this in terms of the idea that when a person does a mitzvah, so the holiness of that mitzvah is actually eternal. It's always there. The person did the mitzvah, let's say today, and then another day comes, and another day, a week, a month, a year. But the holiness of the fact that the person did that mitzvah in this place today, that remains there forever. So holy things have a quality of permanence about. Line 17. And as regards the soul, ikach shorsha nishar lemayla, the real, the essential source of the soul, the root of the soul, remains above, ba'aretz ha'elyona, in the upper land, eretz chefetz, a precious land. Now, you see, the thing is that the land of Israel is a sacred land. That's the physical land of Israel we can go and visit. But that sacred land of Israel has corresponding to it a sacred land in spiritual realms. So when we go to the land of Israel, we're actually entering into a close relationship with the spiritual land, which is above. And so what it's saying here is that the soul, the source of the soul, remains in that upper land, like the upper land of Israel. Only a gleam of that soul, that root of the soul, comes down, spreads, and descends to be enclosed in the body. And then how do we connect with the source? Line 20, in order to reach the root of the soul, that is specifically by means of going to the land of Israel, which is exactly facing and connected with the upper land. So by the fact that we are in the lower land of Israel, we connect with the upper land, which is beyond, which is spiritual. And with regard to the individual, the person's soul, or certainly Abraham's soul, I'm not sure if this applies to everyone, but certainly Abraham's soul, through the fact that he was able to go to the land of Israel, he was able, therefore, to connect his soul to his own source. So he's therefore going to his own source. Line 22, v'zeo lech lecha, that's what it means, go to yourself. Lech lecha ula'atzmecha, go to yourself, go to your very essence. That's where you're going, atah ulech. And that means ela'aretz, to the land. Kibiyoto b'chutz la'aretz, because when he's outside the land of Israel, hari hu nifrad mi'ikaho v'shosho, he is in some sense separated from his true root. Ach belechlo el haaretz, but when he goes to the land of Israel, which is where Abraham was going in this week's Sedra, he's going towards the land of Israel. This is his first entry into the land of Israel, a very significant event in this week's Sedra. Harei hu koholech hu mitchaber el atzmo v'shosho. It's as if he's going and joining with his own self and root. Now, these are very powerful concepts, and I just like to see that we're on board and understanding them and are able to follow what they are, what they're saying. So are there any responses about this page? What do you feel?
No, that's so far already interesting. Thank you.
Okay. Any question from anyone? Any comment?
Forgive a total ignorance. Where is Abraham starting from?
He's starting from... It's actually, we can find it in the British Museum.
Oh.
It is called... Ur of the Chaldees. In other words, it's the east, it's roughly Iraq today.
Uh-huh.
And he's traveling from there, and now in the British Museum, as if I remember correctly, they have many things on display from Ur of the Chaldees. Mm-hmm. And that's where he began.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So that means east of the land of Israel. And he's traveling from there towards the land, which means he's traveling westwards.
It feels to me as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting Abraham to engage with the journey in a personal way. And because while his calling's it's not explained in any detail, it's explained in the terms of a big plan of a future, but he's also speaking very personally to Abraham and saying, this is something that is going to impact you personally. So pay attention. Does that make sense?
I think it does. Well,
good.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, Eleanor. Yeah.
Because he could be so easily lost in the minutiae of the process of packing, traveling, attending to all the details. And that's extraordinary.
Well, it's certainly being made clear by God to Abraham and Sarah. They're both there in the picture. And if we would have read on in the actual initial verses, it speaks about how they had been where they were. Later on, they came to a place called Haran. They started off in Ur Kasdim, Ur of the Chaldees, and then they went to a place called Haran. And then from Haran, which is also east of Israel, and then, so that's a fuller answer to your point, Agnes. And then they went from Haran westwards to the land of Israel. Now, Haran, it tells us that they brought with them the souls they had made. And this was Abraham and Sarah communicating with people. Rashi says Abraham communicated particularly with the men and Sarah communicated with the women. And through this, a lot of people had followed their example and become monotheists instead of idolaters. And so this was a group of followers that they had. And now they are leaving Haran and they are going further towards the land of Israel. And they're going to be in the land of Israel. The Sedra talks about them coming to the land of Israel and being there and various things that happened there. So comment, Eleanor, which I think is very profound, this idea, lech lecha, go to yourself, that every step of the way is going to be something very meaningful. And indeed, that does seem to be the case. Yeah. Any other comment from anyone? Rabbi Lou? You're still muted. Still muted. Rabbi Lou?
I have a problem unmuting here. Something is different than it's always been. No special comment. I presume that the mind is going to go on to speak about how things are after Martin Kaida. In contrast to Lech Lecha, to go into your Shoresh HaNeshama.
No, this is a Maimer of Tavshin Kofei, 1964, which talks about Simchat Torah.
Right, okay.
It talks about sanctifying the unholy.
Yeah, okay. So elsewhere is the point that what was so great about the giving of the Torah is that one is not limited. As the Avos were the patriarchs, those three generations, because they went to the Shoresh of their Neshama, which is the greatest that a human being can achieve. But once a mitzvah is given by Hashem, although the individual might feel very insignificant and not so capable, the fact that it was commanded from Hashem, which is higher than the highest source of any soul, including Avraham Avinu. But that's a different mind.
But it's a very important point. I hope people understand what Rabbi Lou is saying. He's saying in the case of the patriarchs like Abraham, it was a very wonderful and special thing for him to go to the root of his soul. But for us, thousands of years later, after the giving of the Torah, we have the commandments from God, the mitzvah. And the commandments from God connect us to God in a very intimate way, even higher than us connecting with the source of our soul. For most of us, the source of our soul is hidden. It's in a realm beyond, as we're speaking about it here. Abraham was a very great man who could connect with the source of his soul, and God is telling him to go to the land of Israel in order that he will connect with the source of his soul. But for us, we are living after the giving of the Torah. When we go higher than that, and we simply by keeping the simplest command of the Torah, like at this moment, we're engaged in the command of Torah study. You should study Torah. That's one of the commands of the Torah. And so we're engaged in that. So at this point, we are actually connected with the divine in a very, very exalted way. So reaching the source of one's soul is very beautiful. But there are other dimensions to Judaism as well, even if we don't access the source of our soul. Most Hasidim today would not claim that they connect with the source of their soul. They're trying to do the right thing step by step, moment by moment. And so I think that's an important point Rabbi Lu made. So any further comment on that? By anyone?
It sounds Rabbi Tali.
Yes.
The what happened with Avram when he connected? What was that experience for him?
I don't know.
Is it? It's not explained.
I'm sure it was very positive.
Yeah, oh, sure, but
there are things that we cannot communicate in a text. You know, there's an old saying. Have you ever had schmaltz herring, pickled herring, Jeffrey?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Is there any way to describe that to anyone?
No,
actually giving them a piece of.
Have to taste it. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So there's a verse: Tamu uru, taste, and then you'll see.
Then you'll see.
So we have to be aware that there are things beyond us.
Right.
Balu, you're trying to say something? No. Okay.
So when. Please God, we, the Jewish people, I mean, Avram, that connection must have been to spread the word, so to speak.
Well, I mean, you could say that Abraham needed to be connected to the source of his soul in order for him to fulfill his function in the world,
right,
to reveal the oneness of God, which was the crucial thing that he was doing.
Right. Thank you. Right.
Okay. So let's go back. Right. Now we're going to consider this whole question of him going to the land of Israel. So that's line 19 on this first page. Uchadei lahagir l'shoresh hanshama, in order to reach the root of his soul, harizedavka al yedei halicha le'eretz Yisrael, this was specifically by going to the land of Israel, which is exactly opposite the upper spiritual land. That's what it means. Go to yourself, you're going to yourself, to the land. Because when he's outside the land of Israel, he's separated from his root. But when he goes to the land of Israel, it's like going to his own self and cleaving and connecting to that. The Inyan B'zeh, what this means is, She'ikav v'shorish haneshama, the real root of the soul, who kafit shehina ma'ila ba'olam ha'achdus, is the way the soul is above in the world of unity. Uv'lashon ha'kabbalah, as the Kabbalah expresses it, harizeh olam atzilut, the world of emanation. That world of emanation is a realm of unity. And that's where the source of the soul is. Uklafi shemosiv ha-tzemach tzedek ba-ga'a, in the discourse by the Tzemach Tzedek, by this third Lubavitcher Rebbe, there is, he adds in a footnote, she'afal pich rov ha-neshama, even though most souls, hey mibriya yitzira asiya, they come from the three worlds of creation, formation, and action. Mikol makom, nonetheless, shorish kol haneshamot, the root of all the souls, whom atzilut is in the world of atzilut, the world of emanation, the highest of the four worlds. K'mavoa gam b'likutei Torah, as explained in Hasidic teachings. Line 5. Uchadei lahagiyah l'shorish u'makor haneshama, in order to reach the root and source of the soul, kafi shehi ba'olam atzilut, as it is in the world of emanation, harizah al yedei halicha le'eretz Yisrael, that comes about through going to the land of Israel. So that means the soul, the root of the soul, is in the world of atzilut, and the world of atzilut is really completely beyond this world. And nonetheless, by the fact that the person goes to the land of Israel, they're able to make that connection which goes right beyond that, our physical world, and reaches the world of emanation. Now, that's a very profound concept, and it's very profound about the land of Israel. The land of Israel is truly a sacred land, and there's tremendous possibility of spiritual connection and transformation there in the land of Israel. Okay, section Bet. Umamshich haTzemach Tzedek, and the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's expounding this, he continues, Shebeu Inyan, the explanation, Hatam, the reason, Alzeh, the reason why, Shebichdei Lagir L'Shor Shob Atzilut, in order for Abraham to reach his source, his root, in the world of emanation, of absolut, he has to specifically go to the land of Israel. Now, why is that? So this, the Rebbe is going to explain. And he's explaining it. Yuvan, this will be understood by first considering, to consider something which is a facet of Judaism, and let's try to understand it, and the Rebbe is going to give a very interesting picture to it. That, and what is this topic? It's in line 12, the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot, the second festive day of the time of exile. Now, in order to understand that, I think we should try and look at each other for a moment. We've just had the festivals. Let's start with the simplest example. The simplest example is actually in the summer, Shavuot, the festival of Shavuot. In Israel, the festival of Shavuot is one day. But outside Israel, the festival of Shavuot is 2 days. So there is a whole historical background to that, which we won't go into here. But it's this whole idea that instead of just having one day of the festival, we have 2 days of the festival. Now, Shavuot is more or less a standalone festival. It's that one day, which is very special. And outside Israel, we celebrate it as 2 days. The same is true of Sukkot, which is the festival we just had. And so at the beginning of Sukkot, instead of one day, which is like a real festival day when one isn't allowed to do many of the things that we can't do on Shabbat, with the exception that we were allowed to carry and cook, but many other things we can't do like Shabbat. Instead of there being only one day at the beginning of Sukkot like that, with the way it is in Israel, outside Israel there are two. And when you come to the end of Sukkot, we have a day which we call Shmini Atzeret, and then we have Simchat Torah, the rejoicing of the law. And that day of rejoicing of the law, we're actually celebrating on a day which is an additional day, and that additional day is instituted by the rabbis for various reasons. They instituted there would be this additional day. And so it's interesting that the day where we might celebrate with such intensity the rejoicing of the law is actually a day that was added by the sages. So let's go back. So that's the basic idea of the extra day of the festival. Now, so the Tzemach Tzedek, the third rabbi, explains this in a very special way. What exactly is the second day of the festival? It is a time shabonim shach shefer ha'elyon, the upper flow, a spiritual flow comes, which comes from Atzilut. It goes l'toch b'chinat malchud, it goes into kingship of the lower realms, Yitzirah, the world of formation, and then v'asiyah, the world of action. So there are these four realms, emanation, creation, formation, action. And what is happening here is that there is an exalted quality which comes from the highest level, from the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation, and it flows down into a lower dimension, which is the realm of formation and action. An action, world of action, that's where we are. And there is a flow that comes from the highest level down to us. And there, that quality, or nearly to us, and that quality of kingship of these lower worlds, formation and action, hamitlabshim b'shivim sarim, that becomes enclosed in the energy, the spiritual energy, which gives life and being to the physical world around us. And that is called the 70 princes. The 70 princes are like energy flowing from the stars or from channels that God has created. And there's that energy coming. And so this is the way in which kingship of the lower worlds, of kingship of formation and of action, the lowest level of kingship, is enclosed in this flow, giving existence and life and sustenance in the lower worlds and to the diaspora. Now, so it now explains, the discourse now explains the whole idea of kingship of the world of emanation being enclosed or not being enclosed in these 70 princes, because kingship of emanation is too high. And we have to go a few notches down to where it's kingship of formation and action, the lowest levels. They are the level of kingship that gets involved in the in these channels of life force. And that's why the sages say that when we went into exile, the divine presence comes with us, because we moved out of Israel, where we are in a sense directly cared for by God. And we went from the land of Israel to other lands. And in those other lands, there is the power of these 70 princes, which are a kind of a spiritual force But separate to the divine in certain ways. It's like a flow of energy coming from the divine, going through various channels. And the fact that kingship, the quality malchut, has to be enclosed in that level is a kind of state of exile for that, for kingship, for malchut, for the attribute kingship of God. And so that's a so we're gonna skip a little bit of sort of deeper Kabbalistic analysis. Let's just keep it simple. So I'm gonna stop sharing for the moment. That we have the idea that kingship. You see, we have the 10 Sfirot. Let me see if I can find a diagram of them just to help refresh our memories, because that will help us understand what we are talking about. 1 second. Right, so let me share this. So here we have a kind of a picture of the Sfirot. I think you can all see it now. And at the top, there's the infinite. And it all flows down, 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 down to kingship, fulfillment, the feminine. And that's the sort of climax at the lower level of this particular realm of divine revelation. Now, this is like one realm, and then there are three more. So this could be the world of Atzilut, the highest level, and then it descends downwards and downwards and downwards till it comes down to the level of our physical world. And so what it's saying here is that this quality of kingship at a certain point has to be enclosed in the channels of life force which give rise to the world in which we live. The physical world that we live in the diaspora, outside Israel, with all the different things that happen and all the different kinds of energy, the way it rains most of the time, and sometimes it stops, and then it's bright sun, and there's global warming. Everything is through the fact that there is a flow of energy flowing into the world. And that flow of energy is from kingship, fulfillment. It's from that malchut. It's from that 10th sfirah. You see, there's 10 sfirot here. And that's the way in which this energy flows into the world that we're living in. And that descent of kingship into the world that we're living in and into the kind of energy network, which is here in the universe. This is a kind of exile for the Sphira Malchut, for the attribute kingship. And so there we are sort of basking, enjoying the benefit of existence and of creation. And particularly we're enjoying the benefit of kingship being enclosed in the network of energy which makes up our universe at this sort of lower level. So I hope a little bit of that is clear at least. And let's go back and try and but are there any questions at this point?
Hi, just a question, please. Are we saying then on that sphere, or if we're in Israel, we're closer to that kingship? That makes sense on that sphere, or if we're in the spiritual land, we can connect to that deeper. Is that what it's saying?
That's certainly one of the things it's saying. Yeah. There is a sense that in Israel there is a deeper spiritual connection, which makes a challenge to the people living there. Are they living up to that spiritual connection? You know, so it works the other way around. It's a very intense relationship with the divine. And when we're in Israel, we have to try to keep up with that. So be that little bit more aware of all the do's and don'ts and stuff like that. So it certainly is a very, very spiritual thing to be in the land of Israel. It's told about a certain Hasidic Rebbe, not a Chabad Rebbe, but Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, that he went to the land of Israel, which took, in those days, this was around 1800, and it took a very long time to get to the land of Israel from Ukraine, where he lived. And he finally got to the land of Israel, and then immediately he felt the tremendous transformation that being in the land of Israel grants. And he wanted to go home immediately. And the person who'd gone with him, a Hasidic person who had sort of helped the Rebbe go, Rabbi Nachman, go through all the different things he had to go through in order to get there, finally taking a boat from Istanbul. But he was very disconcerted that Rabbi Nachman, after just a few minutes there, wanted to go home again. And he prevailed on him to stay some time. But for Rabbi Nachman, this was a very great energy that was granted to him by being in the land of Israel, and it happened immediately. So being in Israel is a very, very spiritual thing, but one needs to have the sensitivity to be aware of them. Okay.
Thank you.
Now we are trying to find our text again. 1 second.
So how do we increase the sensitivity of our souls? How, for example, did Abraham increase the open up the sensitivity of his soul to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do with him on his journey in a personal way, not just in terms of this vast plan?
Not just in terms of what?
How do we...
Just the last phrase I didn't catch, Ellen.
In terms of his vast plan, because...
The past.
The vast, V-E-A-S-T, the right. Huge plan. How do you make your soul sensitive so that, for instance, if I was ever to be able to visit Israel, so that I would appreciate the holiness of the place, how do we prepare ourselves and deal with that?
Well, that's an extremely good question and very, very relevant. One might study Torah about the land of Israel, halachic teachings, what are the special laws in the land of Israel? The land of Israel, if one's going to be strict, you can't just go into any fruit shop and buy fruit. It has to be some indication that the tithes have been removed from the fruit. Every moment in Israel is really a very intense feeling of closeness to the divine. So there's learning the extra laws which apply in the land of Israel. And then one could learn Hasidic teachings, for example, including this one that we're learning now, which talk about the way in which the special effect that there is in the land of Israel, and also to appreciate the special effect that there is outside the land of Israel. Once you learn about the land of Israel, you're also learning about outside the land of Israel. And in fact, that's the emphasis in this discourse, understanding that the land of Israel is very holy. And outside the land of Israel, we have the opportunity to make the non-holy become holy. And that's very special.
Right. That's amazing. Thank you.
Okay. So now we're looking at the second page, line 17, the Al-Pizah. Oh, 1 second. It's not the second page, it's the third page. It's page Zion. Right. But Alpizen, according to what we've just been studying, Yuvan, we can understand Godel Hachidush, the amazing fact about Shabiyom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot, the whole idea of having this extra festival, that outside the land of Israel, instead of many festivals, instead of them being one day, they become 2 days. Shabo Mitkale Shefa O, the Atzilut, because then what happens on this extra day of the festival, like the second day of Shavuot or the Simchat Torah, the extra day at the end of Sukkot, is revealed the flow of light, or is paused, the flow of light from Atzilut into Malchut of the lower worlds. So it flows from Atzilut, the highest level, into Malchut of the lower worlds, and that's an incredible thing. Now, we then have a discussion and a distinction between two systems of Kabbalah. There's the Kabbalah of Rabbi Isaac Luria, and there's the Kabbalah of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. According to Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, the flow from the world of emanation goes straight into the 70 princes, whereas according to the view of Rabbi Isaac Luria, the flow from the world of emanation goes into the quality kingship, and the quality kingship is enclosed in the 70 princes. So whichever way it is, what is happening is an extraordinary thing, because it means that an ordinary day is being imbued with a great level of sanctity that it wouldn't have had otherwise. See, if you're talking about Yom Kippur, which is precisely the day that it's written about in the Torah, the 10th day of Tishrei, so, and there are all kinds of other things one can learn about why it's particularly that day, and what else happened on that day. But it's very spiritual. The Torah makes that a very spiritual day. In the case, let's say, of Simchat Torah, which is the final day of the Sukkot festival, and it's an extra day, it's a day which isn't celebrated in Israel, the Simchat Torah is on the day before, and that's the last day of the festival there. So it means that an ordinary day, like an ordinary Monday, an ordinary Wednesday, has suddenly had imparted to it an extraordinary level of holiness. It's so much so that it's become Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah, which is one of the most special days in the year. And it's being transformed out of nothing. It's like an ordinary day, which has suddenly become very holy and very beautiful and very inspiring for the future. So in order to understand, and in fact, line 27 here says that the joy which is there, and on this festive occasion, when a kind of an ordinary day is being transformed into something joyful, there's a very special level of joy. And here the discourse quotes a famous story that there was a prince, son of a king, and he somehow was in captivity, and he's bound in iron chains. But then when he goes free and he goes back to his father, the king, in order to delight in all the wonderful things that there are in the palace, the joyfulness is so great. It's very, very great joyfulness, more than if he had never been captured and he'd been all his life staying at home, eating from the food which was on his father's table, his father the king, and given to him by his mother the queen. The joy of him being now redeemed is a tremendous joy, because he was in captivity. And what the discourse is comparing, how the Rebbe is explaining to us, is that Simchat Torah, the day of the rejoicing of the Torah, is like a day of such rejoicing, like the prince has been found, he's been lost, he was living away from home a long time, no one knew where he was, and suddenly he's been found, and it's a tremendously wonderful thing. In the same way, the diaspora outside Israel, which in itself is spiritually pallid, you could say, suddenly it has this flow of holiness flowing into it. It's incredible. It's an incredible thing. Ubeze Yuvan, and from this can be understood, this is section Gimel, what it means, go for yourself, that in order to reach the source, in order to reach the source of the soul in the world of emanation, there has to be the journey from outside Israel into the land of Israel. Because when we're outside Israel, and then we are in this realm, which, you know, these 70 princes, these sort of spiritual lines of force, and of energy, that doesn't permit the kind of recognition of God normally that we could have. And then suddenly there is this shining from this spiritual realm into the ordinariness of life, and it's transformed and it's beautiful. And then we are able to receive and accept and relate to our own souls, which are shining through kingship of the world of emanation, which from that very exalted level. So that's what the discourse of the Tzemach Tzedek said. So let's just discuss that a moment. Let's just see if we can understand what it's saying. Is that there is an extraordinary transaction taking place, that for the second day of the festival, which is holy in the diaspora, it's holy outside Israel, but not in Israel. And the fact that the non-holy can become holy is very special. That's a very remarkable possibility in life, and which the Torah reveals, and this discourse is showing us very clearly what is actually taking place. And that is really something very special. And it's as if it's something cosmic that's taking place, because through what the sages have given us and told us, that the day of the rejoicing of the law, which is a kind of an extra day over the festival, that day is now holy, and it's not only holy, it's got a special additional holiness. And that's something very wonderful, that we are able to take something which in itself might not seem, it might seem inert, it might seem it doesn't have any spiritual qualities at all. And we're being told by the discourse that no, on the contrary, it can gain a very powerful illumination of holiness. Would anyone like to comment on this, Rabbi Lou?
He's still muted.
Yeah. You're still muted, Rabbi.
I know. I'm aware. My problem is how to unmute.
Right.
It's not usually my problem.
Right.
Yeah. I just want to say, since you were talking about the greatness of the second day of Yom Tov, that even a spirituality which is of a lower level becomes infused with the highest revelation. This is also reflected, I heard from the Rebbe, in the fact that as a result of the second day, 48 hours have become sanctified instead of only 24. It's something which that advantage of the second day, it's not a repetition. It means that Kedusha, holiness, is being spread over 2 days, being diffused. It's because it's a, like a light as the beam gets further from the source, it covers a wider area. But in terms of looking at time as something, not just a time space, the time becomes sanctified for a much longer period of time.
Mm. Very, very meaningful.
But how do we become up to the task of...
How do we become what?
Up to the task of creating sanctity because we're outside Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that seems a huge thing to me. Because we're, you know, I'm an ordinary person. I have my daily struggles and so on. And I can't imagine myself being able to create that sanctity.
That's a very wonderful question. And I think the answer is, as Rabbi Liu told us before, the tremendous power of action after the giving of the Torah. And the fact that a person tries to keep the mitzvot, you know, what mitzvot they're able to keep. You know, there's the mitzvot as they're given, and then there's our ability to keep them. And the fact that a person makes that attempt and tries to keep those mitzvot, that connects the person to the divine in a very beautiful way.
Okay.
Rabbi Tali, in a sense, then, would I be right in thinking when the Mashiach will come, the sanctity of Israel will cover the earth?
Well, let's just take the first thing. When Mashiach comes, the sanctity of Israel will become apparent to every Jew. And that will change many people's attitudes today. It's the election in Israel to a certain extent. The question is the land of Israel a holy land, or is it just an ordinary land like France or India or, you know, Guatemala? It's what is the land of Israel? But it's actually a sacred land, you know, so every Jew will recognize that. And that's a very important moment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we now have another way of understanding the whole question of Abraham's journey. Because the way we've been looking at it up to now is that he is going somehow, he's connecting with his root, he's going upwards. But what about the idea? So one second. So that fits with the fact that he is going from outside the land of Israel to Israel. You see, the way we've been explaining it, the way the discourse has been explaining it, is that he's connecting with his source. So he, down here in the world, is connecting with his source above. That relates to the fact that he's going from outside Israel, somewhere in the east, he's going towards the land of Israel. So that's a similar movement from the unholy to the holy. How does this connect with another commentary on what it means that he should go for himself? That in fact, it's a movement from above downwards, as it says that at this point, Avram, yes, before his name is changed, his name means the exalted father, something hidden and exalted and very spiritual. And by the fact that God told him, go for yourself to the land that I will show you, it means that that very hidden radiance flows down into the world. So it's a different direction. There's movement from below up and there's movement from above down. So the way to understand this, it says, line 31. in order that there can be the descent below, there first of all has to be an extra revelation from above. And indeed, that's why he's first called Avram, which means that's this hidden intellect, which is beyond everything. And after that, Avram, the exalted father, that means, he gets another Aleph in his name. Another hay in his name. And that hay is drawing down something very spiritual into him, which can then flow from him on that high level down into a lower level. So the, in a sense, the sort of natural movement is from below upwards, but then when he's empowered enough from this below upwards, it changes and it becomes from above downwards. And so then we can understand that through the fact that he went to the source of his soul, he is then able to bring this radiance down into the world. And so that's a very meaningful thing, that we connect in some spiritual way, perhaps beyond ourselves, you know, beyond our own consciousness, but somehow or other through the process of the mitzvot. I'm going to stop sharing for this moment. Through the process of us keeping the mitzvot, we are then connected with God in an absolutely remarkable way, which enables a flow, so to speak, to come from us into the world, and we are able to go, let's say, the many emissaries of Chabad who are in all kinds of different places. How are they able to spread themselves so thin, you might feel? What is going to support them while they're there? And the thing is that each of them, in some way, they have this connection above. Before they went out as emissaries, they had this sense of connection with the Rebbe's teachings, which are so inspiring and which connect the person to the divine in a very beautiful way. So they've got that connection above, and then they're able to bring that flow down below. Rabbi Lou, would you like to comment? Any comment, Rabbi Lou?
No, I'm fine.
It's fine. Any comment from anyone else? Any question, comment? Nicole? Okay.
Yes, Tali, I have...
Yes, Jeremy.
I have an admission, because for many editions, I edited the Maimorim that were sent out weekly, and this happens to be one of them that I received a few days ago.
Yes.
I think Mendy Levy still sends them out.
Right.
And I used to proofread for him.
Right.
But it just so happens that I printed this out earlier today.
Oh, beautiful.
So the footnotes are terrific, very rich.
Right.
It gives an insight. I'll be happy to send it on to you and you could have a look at it.
Yeah, he sends it to me himself.
He mentions about the Shivim 70 ministers, yeah. 70 princes. There's a prince for even every blade of grass has a prince that encourages it to grow. It's an amazing concept. Something as quite as insignificant as a blade of grass has its own angel encouraging it to grow.
Yeah, and the 70 princes relate to the 70 nations.
70 nations, uh-huh.
You see, each blade of grass has its own mazal, its own spiritual quality making it grow. But in a sense, like broader categories than that, there's the fact that the prince for each country. So there's a story about Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the first Chabad Rebbe, who, due to the machinations of the opponents of Hasidism, they framed him because he was sending money to support the poor people, the Hasidim, in the land of Israel. And the Mitnagdim made out that this was money being sent to Turkey, because Israel was in the Ottoman Empire, and Turkey was at war with Russia at that time, and so he's being a traitor, he's sending money to the enemy, and as a result, that was the accusation, and as a result, he was thrown into prison. Now, while he was in prison, and then we're going to celebrate on the 19th of Kislev, in a month's time, or in 7 weeks' time, with the help of God, we'll be celebrating the way he was released from prison, and that's a special Chabad and Hasidic, general Hasidic celebration. While he was in prison, the Tsar decided, he heard he has this strange Jewish leader who is in prison, and the Tsar decided he wants to visit him and see him. But he doesn't want him to know that he's the Tsar. So he put on the clothes of an ordinary person, and then he went into the prison, and the jailers, you know, open the door and usher in, and there's the Tsar. But he looks like an ordinary man. He's wearing ordinary clothes, and there were no photographs, you know, like we would have today, you know, King Charles, you know, everyone knows what he looks like because his picture's all over the newspapers and so on. So as soon as the Tsar entered the prison cell, Rabbi Shneur Zalman stood up and mumbled something. The Tsar said, "What did you say?" Rabbi Shneur Zalman said, "I said the blessing that one has to say when you see a king." So the Tsar said, "How do you know I'm a king? I am indeed a king, but how did you know that?" So Rabbi Shneur Zalman said, "When you came in, the heavenly prince of Russia came in with you. So I knew you are the king of Russia, the Tsar of Russia." So, so that gives us a little bit extra with these princes. So let's just see this further explanation of what it means, as I commented right at the beginning, go to the land, not the land which I will show you, but the land where I will reveal you. So the Rebbe explains that because Avram has reached this very exalted level, and now he's coming down, so what is actually happening is Avram, this exalted father who is so exalted in himself, is coming down into a lower level and being revealed. His radiance is being revealed. And so that's what it really means. The coming to yourself is that you're connected to yourself above, and through being connected to yourself above, to your real self above, through that you are able to then in the world spread a connection with the divine and goodness and holiness and beauty. Now, I must tell you that it occurs to me that I said earlier on, one of you asked, I think it was Eleanor, you know, how are we able to connect with our spiritual self now? And Rabbi Lou said something about when we do mitzvot now, we are going higher than that. But I'd like to add another point. We are very fortunate that we're living in the generation which is under the influence of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, on one level, he passed away in 1994, but his teachings continue, and that's exactly what we're studying now, and all over the world, in different ways, people are being influenced by his thought and his teachings. By the fact that a person has a sense of connection to the Rebbe, that helps them connect with the root of their soul. And that's a very profound thing. and I do feel that I should share that with you. So the fact that a person has a connection themselves with the Rebbe, that is what the Rebbe does. The Rebbe connects people to their own source and connects them to God. In fact, a journalist once asked, many, many years ago, he asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, what is a Rebbe? Like, I know what a rabbi of a synagogue is, but what is a Hasidic Rebbe? So the Rebbe said, he is a telephone operator. Now, back in the olden days, making a phone call was a much more complicated thing, especially when it was out of town or out of the country, an international call. You had to make a call to the telephone exchange, and you'd say, I am number so-and-so, and I want to connect with another town, let's say in England. So the telephone operator would take a wire which represents your phone, and they would plug it into another wire which represents where you want to be connected, and then you would be connected and you would be able to speak to that person. And then they replaced this with an automatic system of dialing, STD, it was called subscriber trunk dialing. Yes, it was a trunk call to call from London to Brighton, let's say, not very far. But that was called a trunk call. And then you've got STD, subscriber trunk dialing, that the person, the subscriber, the ordinary person with their phone at home is able to connect to Brighton or wherever. I mean, now we can phone anywhere from England. I remember being in Russia and wanting to phone England, it was not such an easy matter at all. But now we all have mobile phones, and so we're able to bypass the local phone system. So the Rebbe presents himself as the telephone operator, connecting the person to God, and I would say also connecting the person to the source of their own soul in a very appropriate and healthy and harmonious way. So that then, having this spiritual connection, the person is able to fulfill the tasks which the Torah imposes on us, or gives us that tremendous schut, that merit, to be able to carry out those tasks and reveal, like Abraham, revealing godliness in the world, which all of us have an opportunity to do in one way or the other, helping another person fulfill a mitzvah, helping another person appreciate the spirituality of Torah and mitzvah. So I wish everyone everything good and warmest, warmest wishes. Agnes, wonderful seeing you. You should be well in every way. Thank you.